Yeah, good morning. It's happily June 2nd, 2013, 6:07 a.m. here in the Pacific Northwest of North America. Light chemtrails still hanging around from yesterday, although they didn't do too much work in that regard. This is a very cool thing to be doing, which is to say that, hey, we're still here. There's no giant wave washing me over, and I haven't had a huge earthquake that has sent me tumbling down the hill and being damaged and stuff, which was part of the issue with the remote viewing, which gets right into the whole crux and conundrum there. Our global coastal event probably is ongoing, probably has been ongoing for a number of years, and is coincident with the rise of the data holes. And it's probably ongoing the way that we have those deep earthquake kind of things around here, in the sense that it's something that we're just not sensorily aware of because it's piling on every day. And we're seeing all the effects in terms of, you know, the weird weather and all of this kind of stuff. However, the remote viewing stuff suggested that the meteors and the... in our stuff it didn't show, in the remote viewing validation studies, it never showed meteors. Showed two big, all of them were consistent. That's the really weird part, is that they were all consistent in showing earthquake kind of activity. And also, there's the rub. The validation study stuff was incredibly accurate in the minutia, in the detail. Incredibly so. Even into the future, a year out from the time that I first received the studies. So it doesn't make sense to me to think that remote viewing is incapable of seeing the future, because they can if you give them a mental anchor. But I think that when you do it absent the person, maybe there's something going on there. I mean, I've learned quite a bit about remote viewing in terms of the failures and the successes of what occurred here over this past year, because demonstrably the remote viewing sessions that were done by the Hawaii Remote Viewers Guild and by the Belgian guys were all contained, very prescient and very accurate, weird little bits of things that were, in a reasonable sense, not predictable. And so their accuracy was, in the small stuff, was staggering. And it wasn't really all that small. I mean, they saw that my wife would have a medical crisis, which she did. She had a heart attack, and has had other problems since then. So that level of accuracy a year out was really damn good. But they didn't, but all of them consistently saw that we were in an earthquake situation. Now, that well could have been because of the goofy individual I chose as the anchor for my remote viewing study, which was myself, and maybe because I was preoccupied with the global coastal event stuff. It could have been a kind of a weird, insofar as the remote viewing stuff that's the validation studies, it could have been a kind of weird self-reinforcing loop, or, you know, self-fulfilling kind of a prophecy, in the sense that the remote viewers used me as an anchor because I was stupid and suggested that, you know, and designed this the study that way. And maybe because I was preoccupied with the global coastal event stuff anyway, they keyed in on that and saw the earthquake component, which didn't happen, but they were basically like reading my emotional state or mind or something ahead of time. And of course it was self-fulfilling, because by telling me ahead of time that I was going to go through a big earthquake, well, I was worried about a big earthquake when it hit. Now there's something here that's a little bit interesting as well. We actually had a really large earthquake on May, 23rd? 3 days out from my projected big earthquake, which was May 20th. All of our data said that there would be a big earthquake around May 20th. The immediacy data confirmed that. The immediacy data has an error factor of 3 days. We were off by 3 days. There was the deepest earthquake ever recorded for its size in Kamchatka. And that same day, we lost the bridge here in the Skagit River Valley. Now, this is a degree of correlation that is staggering, which brought up a couple of job offers, actually. Because I'd been making the statements that we would have isolation, bridges down, and a large earthquake on or about May 20th for a number of years, and some fellows that do quantum mathematics and that kind of thing, who work for a corporation, actually ran out some math and found out the level of correlation on just that element of the forecast, and were absolutely blown away and staggered by it. And they've contacted me, and we've looked at the math and that kind of thing, because it was just really, really spectacular from their viewpoint. Now, I expected more because we had a larger set that still needed to be fulfilled. We haven't gotten it yet, and this is all a little bit, well, we've gotten some of it. It's a little bit goofy in a number of different ways. We've got a lot of the oscillating weather. We've got the floods in Europe. We've got floods in Midwest. We've got all of the heavy-duty weather. We have a lot of the detail components that were seen within the validation studies. Yet, we don't have anything within the... no, that's not true. We don't have the major component of the tsunami kind of events from the Farsight.org study. We've had some of those things show up, though. Dick Allgaier and a number of the elements within the Farsight.org study can be said to have appeared here by June 1. The meteors, the bombings, the people running around, all different kinds of individual elements have indeed shown up. But the overall theme has not. Now, you're going to hear people, probably academics, say that, oh, it's a different timeline. And I don't buy that. You know, I mean, we were wrong, all of us collectively at that level, in assigning dates and saying that this series of things could occur by this date. The remote viewing guys, especially in the validation study, were highly accurate, where they had the had a consciousness to work off of, which... led to all of the specific details. And I'm talking specific details that, you know, send little goosebumps up your skin and have the hairs on the back of your neck try and crawl over and take refuge in your nose. Just really scary kind of accuracy. But the larger stuff hasn't appeared. Now, in our data sets, the global coastal event was a really a phenomenistic kind of a thing. It was a huge number of elements involved in that set. And it began with fierceness after the data gap. Well, we've had our data gap. I mean, we're hosed. The data gap through May is quite complete. The DDoS wars, the wars in the Middle East, Russia and China defending themselves or attacking, who knows what's going on there. And we've lost huge levels of our ability to effectively operate within the internet. As humans, you may discover it in the course of the day where you have to reload a site, or some sites are not available. They're reporting they're offline, but the rest of the net appears to be fine. Or if you query them, you'll find out that the DNS servers can't respond because there's DDoS attacks going on. And so you're trying to reach a server with a name to go through the domain name resolution system. And so you'd put in like halfpasthuman.com, and it would come back and say, we're not there. But if you knew our IP address, you could put it in and you could go hop right to it. And the reason that you can't get it is because of these DDoS attacks. This is what is forming our, one of the larger elements that's forming our data gap, or has formed our data gap. We're in a situation now where we're analyzing the flow from the packets on up. And for our viewpoint, in dealing with the spiders and the speed with which the servers operate, we've got some real issues there. So that component has shown up. We've got the data gap. You know, in that sense, the gap is quite complete. It may indeed even get worse in the sense that you got those idiots fighting over in the Middle East, and they may take down more of the actual internet and intrude with more gaps as we go along. So there's that component. That's still in effect. That happened. We had the bridges fall down. We had 3 bridges collapse in a week. That happened. It was coincident in a week with a large earthquake. That happened. The correlation was pretty accurate. We don't hold ourselves, or I don't hold ourselves here. Igor, I don't think he even really applies these metrics to himself and his work here, but I don't hold us as failures for our sets. And unfortunately, that's a bad thing, because our global coastal event descriptor sets are still there. There's been no resolution of that. The sets are still playing out. We still have the oscillation. We still have the weird weather. Within the Global Coastal event set, there was subsets that showed the social degradation and all of this, and the financial collapses and these kind of things. And these are all manifesting. So, is the case of the Global Coastal event is still manifesting? I think so. Do we have any kind of a date when it's going to appear? No, we don't. In terms of, it's going to affect individuals differently. We have some of the major forecasts of 220 million people fleeing north. We have forecasts of 1.289 billion people, which we think relates to the number of people that die as a result of within a shorter period of time, as a result of the global coastal event maturing, if you will. And if we look as rational beings around us, we've got a bunch of idiots running around nuking each other in the Middle East. We've got the, geez, I mean, the litany of stuff going wrong on this planet is just huge. You can start with the powers that be and their secret seed vaults and their giant underground bunkers that they've been raping the population of wealth to create for years. And it just goes on and on and on. We've got Fukushima, we've got other nuke plant issues all over the planet, general degradation everywhere. Socially, economically, politically, all around. So all of those sorts of components that were elements of the Global Coastal Event are there. We've got to all live with them. Then we've got the assholes up there spraying the chemtrails, making us all ill, causing problems all over the planet for what they probably think of as good, but who knows? You got people out there playing around with the harp stuff, and they may not even be people as far as we know. And like I say, it just goes on and on and on. So the elements that had been described in our global coastal event are still there. They're still maturing. This is the bad news component of it. It's on, I mean, it's happening right now. We've had the goofiest sun ever. And that was another aspect of this. The scientists in the in this organization that are trying to get me to go to work for them. We're really thrilled with the statistical correlation that I've had since 1997. With the what I called the sun disease, and being able to pinpoint that we would have a solar expulsive period this many years out has them really excited, and they're throwing they're throwing numbers around. I don't know that I'm going to even involve myself with that particular project, but it was interesting, and to see the correlation from their viewpoint as statistical scientists. Bearing in mind, of course, I don't like statistics, and I don't really think they're all that useful. Nonetheless, they had some pretty impressive monkey mind numbers on a lot of these elements. So it's like, I'll go ahead and listen to them a little bit longer and see what I want to do. That's something that we're at this point attempting to decide. Just what is it we're going to do here? Let me not get too far off, though, before getting into that. So it looks like from my understanding here with the remote viewing, when it's pegged at the personal level and you're looking at the minutiae and you've got a mind to connect to, I don't know that time is an issue. On the other hand, when you don't do that, and this, specifically goes to all of the Farsight study stuff, when you don't have those consciousnesses there to connect to, I think maybe it's extremely unreliable and shouldn't even be accepted as anything more than fiction. We have an issue here with the Courtney Brown study was accurately designed and has proven a whole number of things, okay? It's proven the accuracy of individual remote viewers insofar as individual elements. It's proved the failure of remote viewing for the future in a general sense with no consciousness attached. Because of my stuff with the remote viewing and using my screwy personality and life force here as the temporal anchor, I know that there's elements that can get around future viewing within the remote viewing, and they really need to examine that. There's actually some really cool stuff there. But you've got to be careful about some of the broader strokes that are going on and how you're going to interpret it all. Nonetheless, though, they were scary good. These guys had never met me. They're on the other side of the planet, and it's a year out, and they see things that actually manifest at an incredible degree of detail. Very much like our own work in that sense, I mean, because we get all kinds of weird details in the immediacy data. And we've had some rather striking hits here in the last 2 or 3 months with the immediacy data intelligence reports, where we're using our immediacy data to predict things that are a week or maybe 2 weeks out and being able to get those. So in that sense, our work is every bit as accurate and, in fact, more mechanistic and is easier to do in a predictable fashion on these 1 week to 2 week out kind of things. And also, perhaps, even on a much longer term basis, it actually has shown, in a sense, that the linguistic approach is far better than remote viewing for accuracy, even into time. Because I had specifically focused on May of 2013 for a number of years back. One of the guys said that one of the earlier recordings that they found in which I started talking about it was 2006. And so to have a 7-year lead time on some of this language, which related to specific events, even if they were misinterpreted along the way. You know, we had a giant earthquake that was extremely deep 3 days within the May 20th date that I pegged, at the same time that we had a bridge go down. The magnitude, the intensity, and so forth, those values were off, but the temporal accuracy, the linguistic accuracy, those values were correct. And so it's an issue of the level of the complexity of the multidimensional array I've got and the individual summation values on a lot of the individual words. And so basically this is, you know, a giant major tuning of the lexicon issue in order to tweak out a lot of the discrepancy there so that you get a more accurate reading of the intensity values coming through over time and are more accurately able to interpret them. And see, that's our problem is, of course, we have to interpret all of this stuff ahead of time. In any event, this is all on the in a discussion with these guys on the theoretical idea that we would continue and go to the trouble of tuning the lexicon with this feedback provided by their mathematics. And I agree that their mathematics and their approach would indeed allow me to tune the lexicon down to the point where it was, I think, and this is what I would think, we'd have to do it and try it and see and tinker and, you know, trial and error kind of thing. But it might indeed be much more accurate. Now, the issue for us is that I have less interest in that. I'm being pressured by our own personal living situation here to get things shifted. During the midst of all of this, we're in a real estate crisis here in this country, and yet another one of a different kind, because we've got approximately 40 to 60% of the real estate market is it's really weird. If we look at it from a couple of different ways, about 40% to maybe 60%, depending on where you live, of the usual, let's just say that, amount of listings for property are available in your area. The problem is, of those 40 to 60%, well over, in our area, well over 80% of them involve short sales. And so the turnaround time involve a bank or somebody else who holds the note on the property, because the property is technically underwater. And so somebody's got to take an economic bath on this. They've got to take the loss. And so they're reluctant to do this. And so the time involved, no one in a bank in an organization wants to put their name to taking a loss and being in that position relative to the bank. So they're reluctant to do it, even if that's their job. And we get to a situation where, like I say, maybe as much in your area, maybe as much as 80%, like it is in ours, of the usual and regular market is locked up in a short sale situation, which involves months and months and months and months and months of waiting to be told no by banks. And so there's not a lot of turnaround that way. We don't have banks loaning on land, just raw land for building. We don't have banks loaning to any real degree. And in a lot of areas, it's especially in our area around here, it's decreasing. But it's made things really difficult in a real estate market, because you've got the talking heads out there touting the theoretic rise in prices. Well, I'm sure the prices have indeed risen. It's because of the lack of product on the market, if you will, and a pent-up demand, and in a lot of cases like ours, forced demand. And so there's some small pressure that allows prices to rise because basically people that want to sell are not in a position to do so. Their house is underwater, the banks won't cooperate. A lot of people are involved in foreclosure process, and so their property is basically not their own to do anything with anyway. And it just goes on and on and on. And so we find ourselves here being squeezed by the real estate market on that side of things in terms of availability and price and so on. And, we're not rich people here at all. We can't just go on out and move into a house because it suits us. It's hugely an economic issue. And especially at our age, with the issue of, retirement and trying to live in the next few years in the midst of all the other crap that's going on. The widening global warfare and all this kind of shit, and the degraded environment at the climate level, the degraded environment at the economic level, and it just goes on and on and on. So like I was saying, we're in the process of trying to decide what it is we're going to do here for a while. I've got to take some time off and tend to our habitation needs. I've got a couple of yurts I've purchased and no place to put them at the moment. So we've got to deal with those issues there. And then we're doing it like everybody else in the midst of, raging poverty, dying dollar, Middle East warfare, political system gone batshit, huge levels of corruption at all the levels of the political system, and it just goes on and on and on. Anyways, sorry about that. I had to go let a dog in here. As far as the remote viewing and that kind of stuff goes, I'm going to sit down and do a post-mortem analysis of the validation study stuff I've got. I don't know that I'll bother with the farsight.org stuff. A lot of their things showed up. I do not buy the idea of the other timelines. The concept is absurd based on energy calculations alone. Plus, conceptually, I can think of dozens of different reasons, just not even trying, as to why why it doesn't work in that sense. It wouldn't function well, and it's a convolution that and an abstraction that is purely from a human viewpoint, and is not in an expression of any kind of evidentiary sort of thing that we see in space and time. So, in our sense, it's like, oh, okay, no, it's not another timeline in which you were correct. You're simply wrong. You screwed up, guys. And it happens to us all the time. Like I say, our ability to deliver accurate forecasts in some areas is quite good. Immediacy data has been very prescient, and we're running, according to these quant dudes, at about 65% and over 80% on weather out 12 days. So, we're a good long-range weather forecasting situation. Several years out on earthquakes and so on, even though we don't have the intensity and the carry value accurate for some levels of these things. And I understand why, too. And we've had a discussion about that, and it has to do with the fear levels around earthquakes and being able to, and those kind of things, be able to accurately provide discriminatory filter to people's own imagination and the emotional level of the fear itself. We've had a long discussion about this that made my head hurt when we were done about how to approach that. Back in a second, gotta get some tea. Anyway, the absent the issue of headaches, formula or chemtrail induce or otherwise. We're trying to decide basically what we're going to do here. It's nice to get a reprieve. I've been basically very much reprieved because the remote viewing stuff had some really horrific crap here, and too much specific detail was driving us crazy. So now it's like, oh, hey, let's take a vacation. Let's do something entirely different for a while. Let's just, turn our heads to something else. Take the sort of Zen gardener approach and, turn away from the corruption and the crapola from the officialdom and all their machinations and warfare and all this stuff around their currencies, etc., and focus on something else for a bit. and clear our heads out. And so I think we will. You know, at this point, it's undetermined. We just don't know. But it's very nice to not be in a situation of struggling to provide electricity and fighting against continuing aftershocks and so on. Not to say that it won't occur, but boy, it'll be a lot better for me if I can ever get these yurts located to be in those as opposed to the structure I'm in now. It's a good house, don't get me wrong. It's not going to collapse or anything. But it's just not well suited for dealing with those kind of events. And that was a whole subject for an entirely different discussion as to why the yurts. It relates to living in the round as opposed to living square. I've been reading the Nicholas Taleb's anti-fragility book, and also had a generalized push from universe towards what I've been thinking of as paleo me, as my archaic revival kind of a thing at a personal level, which of course relates to Buckminster Fuller's understanding of how humans work. He had this insight that when humans get it wrong, when we really screw up, we have a tendency to have some portion of the social order go backwards, if you will, to go back far enough to look at where we had taken the wrong path. And so a lot of my life, and a lot of other people, you'll have to acknowledge this, it's kind of like, why is there this huge fascination with a particular group of scientists and thinkers of the 1920s and the 1930s? In my opinion, it's because that's when we were forced into this other path by the machinations of the same people that gave us the wonderful Fern Factory, the Federal Reserve Bank. You know, they secretly brought it in 1910 in this meeting, had it brought in by force and blackmail and murder and stuff by 1913. And by the 1920s, it had started to affect things. And so it's my feeling that, you know, things started going bad, even though that around in the 20s, even though at that point we also had this particular good path that included people like Tesla and all of the many different researchers that were onto some really cool stuff, who were suppressed, killed, you know, derailed, all of that kind of thing. And we also had people like Buckminster Fuller. Now, he managed to survive and work his way through it. Many of the others did not. So, in any event, getting back to that idea, Buckminster Fuller in like 74, 75 came on this understanding that people go back. Some portion of the social order wants to go back to the point where we took that wrong path and see what's going, you know, and then see if we can't get back on that correct path. And I've noticed this as a general trend among people that are fascinated by these forgotten scientists and trailblazers and thinkers of all kinds. You know, the Walter Russells and all of these other people, especially along the technology line, which is my particular bent. But at that point, there was also all kinds of great thinking and what I hate to use the word, what we now call psychiatry. But these people were just consciousness. They were just consciousness researchers back then in the 20s and 30s that had some really good stuff. And, of course, it's all been thrown out and dropped by the wayside as we move forward into this pathway that has led us to this point of maximum corruption. And so I have my own version of an archaic revival going back. And also there's the issue of I wanted to live in the round. There's a different feeling and mindset that occurs when you don't live in these little square holes that we've been subjected to for actually only a relatively brief period of time. In all of human history, more humans have lived in round structures more consistently for a far longer period of time than all square structures combined. So, you know, if you start thinking about when we started going rectilinear with housing, even if you go back several thousand years into Egyptian even all the way back into ancient Sanskrit, and you're looking at maybe 7 to 10,000 years ago, we find a fair amount of housing that was rectilinear. Well, over the course of that time, though, the vast majority of humans lived in basically personally built, personally constructed or family built round structures. And there may really be a point to that. I want to go and find out. I mean, in terms of why round? I build round structures. I build geodesic domes. I like building fabric structures. I have fabric boats. And so these particular themes, I wanted to go ahead and explore. If I can find a place to put my little yurt thing. Also, I've come up with some new thinking around the idea of habitation and those sorts of things, and wanted to explore them in relation to the yurts and the living in the round and some of the potentials that are there that are not apparent initially in living square. Hang on a second. Had to make a note there. Anyway, so basically, this is a form of hooray, hooray, hooray. You know, we're not suffering at this point any kind of huge level of earthquakes or solar expulsion kind of stuff. There are a lot of cautions to that. We all know that in spite of my timing being wrong, we are in a transitory world. It's finally dawned on almost everybody that we're not going back to what used to be normal in my lifetime and in my childhood as a weather and climate, and that we are in a transitory state into something entirely new. So the conditions under which the conditions that were described in the global coastal event persist. We're living them now. It makes sense. Such a thing as a global coastal event is as was described in that original data set, had many different components to it. The oscillating weather, the floods, the winds, the increase in winds, that ultimately, and all the other things that led me to understand it was part and parcel of an expansion event. Expansion events, from our viewpoints, will bring the sudden black swan, the sudden giant sharp earthquake. We're probably pending for it. We don't have a date for it. Hooray. I don't like living with the dates that way. It was really annoying to live this way this last year. If you ever get a chance to use yourself as a future experiment for remote viewing, take my advice and don't. It's not worth it. They can be really accurate and it'll scare the shit out of you and make your life miserable for a while. Now, my life was miserable anyway because my wife and my mother have been incredibly ill over this past year. So that actually, to a certain extent, saved my brain because I didn't have all that much time to worry. I was too damn busy dealing with everybody else's crises. And also poor Igor's wife, you know, she's had repeated bouts of cancer. We think she's really out of it now, so that's good. No sign of anything here for like the last 6 months. Anyway, though, so that's where we're at. All of the data sets that we had, you can go back and look at them. The WebBot Forum guys have got a lot of the stuff available. You can go back and look at all of our global coastal stuff. If you put it all together into a read and separate it out, you know, using search engines and stuff and collect it, you can see that we're in that set now. It's actually appearing. The psychicness of everybody all those years ago was accurate. The psychicness of everyone in 1997 was accurate. We're in the damn sun disease period at the moment. All of this stuff is happening. And hooray, we don't have a specific date for the end of the world and the death, the beginning of the death of a whole lot of billions of people. And it may be indeed that that component of it, because of, as we've discovered, you know, we were, the correlation level that for those particular word sets that we had for the May 20th period, when it actually appeared to with the Skagit River Bridge collapse and that earthquake that was within an hour or two of it, that was the deepest ever recorded out of Kamchatka, the correlation on it at that level is truly staggering. We never should have been able to peg those to a date. It's one thing to say, okay, this word and that word are going to show up, but to be able to say basically 7 years out that it's going to show up on this particular date, they found to be staggeringly prescient material. And so they're quite fascinated with all this, and they've got some big money behind them, and they're threatening me with big money. I don't need big money. That's not a particular issue at the moment. I need a small plot of land where I can start getting to work and putting my house up. And I'm going to wrap it up here and let you go today. Because basically that's where we're at. I've got a lot of things I need to do. And one thing I need to do after it was to relocate us and get us in a much better physical situation, because our housing condition is totally deteriorated. And so I need to do that. And then from that point on, then I can make other decisions. Igor and I are indeed, as I say, being threatened with big money to do some thinking about the math involved for these corporations. And I don't think I'm going to be involved with that because I don't need the big money and I don't want to get distracted. But beyond that, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if we'll retune the lexicon and start back up again. It's intriguing, but we basically know we're in the shit, and there's no, I don't know if that there's much benefit to finding out, you know, how bad the shit's going to get, how rapidly, when it won't make much difference to the response, and we've got to make our response now, ahead of it all anyway. So we're going to have some discussions over the next little while, but we won't be opening up any of the IDIR reports or any of that for a while. If we do, we just have no idea how we're going to proceed at this stage, but I know for at least some period of time, you know, depending on how universe cooperates here, it could be a couple of days, could find a chunk of land and start building right away, in which case, ooh, I'll have all kinds of interesting things to talk about. I'm going to set up some cameras to record the process, and we're going to set up webcams and all of this. We've got some fairly extensive plans that way. Or it could be that, you know, universe decides, hey, you're screwed. You're going to sit on those yurts for a year and not be able to, you know, find property you can afford and all of that. So we'll just see. Universe is going to provide. It's nice having no set plan. I'm going to sort of go on vacation here for a bit. It might be a couple of weeks, or it might be a couple of months. I just don't know. Universe also may come along and smack me upside the head and say, hey, here's a really good idea, and you know, you got to go pursue this. It's done that before. But I'm kind of looking forward at this point to not doing any work for a bit. And Igor is and his wife are going to take off. He had a vacation planned for May, and then he had to go and deal with the estate of a cousin of his that had passed. And so that kind of blew that. But he and his wife are thinking about taking off for a 3-week vacation. And so it's like, hey, good for you, dude. And so, like I say, we'll see what's going to happen in the future here. And I guess that's it. It's like, I'm going to go and look at Suspicious Observers, for 3 or 4 minute news for the day, and then start in on my day and start figuring out how we're going to proceed and overcoming some of our hurdles here. But it's really cool that the RV stuff worked out this way, because the level of prescience within the validation study was, as I say, quite scary. And I'm going to have to sit and think about it all. But I've got to go feed a puppy at the moment. So that's it, guys. The Wujo, mea culpa Wujo. Yes, timing is wrong. A lot of the stuff did appear. A lot of people are going to be really pissed at me. But hooray, guys, it didn't happen. You know, hooray. Or at least it has not yet occurred in the way in which we thought it would, based on the timing and the Farsight study. Unfortunately, we still got the rise in fascism, the most extremely corrupted or state of corruption in the financial system that's probably ever existed, and just about and we got a developing war in the Middle East. We got the Israelis throwing nukes at people, and so it's generally nasty out there all over. That being the case, be very careful. You know, just because we don't have our big earthquake doesn't mean that the planet isn't out to cause us problems. And unfortunately for everybody, I'll probably be back. Bye.